A successful woman is one who can build a firm foundation with the bricks others have thrown at her. This is a quote of the day as we begin this edition of Today's Woman on Foundation Radio. Today's Woman is a one-hour program that is going to be featuring successful women in Cameroon, precisely in Bamenda, who have been able to succeed despite cultural and gender barriers. And we are going to be talking to a handful of them, with today having a special guest, Madame Gambo Epos Mbappe Rekiato. Good day and welcome to Today's Woman on Foundation Radio. I am Ranibel Sato and my special guest for this edition is Madame Gambo Epos Mbappe Rekiato. Good day to you, Madame.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's a pleasure to have you on this edition of the program. It's a pleasure for us.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine.
Okay, to begin with, we want to find out a little bit about who you are. Can you tell us who actually you are?
Yeah, I'm Gambo Epos Mbappe, which means Epos is a French word to wife.
Yeah.
Wife Mbappe. I was born 20th October 1961 in Limbe. School there at Down Beach. Left, came up to Bamenda, continued primary school in CBC Moussa. Left to intermediate, then left to progressive.
Okay, what I can see here, your portfolio is really long and wide. Can you tell us about some of your achievements lately?
Okay, I have been one time PTA president GTHS Bamenda. I have been the forum president of Bamenda Women. I'm still the president of the Cameroon Muslim Women Association.
Wow.
One of the royal posts I have is being the regional representative of Islamic Higher Council, which means leading men.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also the women president for interreligious service, codename Akadi, with headquarters in Yaoundé. Also the president of Bayam Selam Women in Bamenda.
Mm. And you are managing all of those offices at the same time.
Yeah, the problem is time scheduling. If you can schedule your time, well, you can do anything.
Oh, wow, that is really great. And now we might want to also find out maybe some of your challenges you have been facing along the line as you got into such offices and got yourself doing so many things for your nation, your society, your community. We want to find out some of the challenges that you face as a woman. And let's say as a Muslim, yeah?
Yeah. There is this myth. They say Muslim women don't go out. Muslim women don't have to dress anyhow. Even going to school was really a problem. But thanks be to God that my father was also a civil servant. He worked with vets. Then, when we came up, I got married to a man who was also a civil servant out of my own culture. But finally, he joined me. Who said you cannot stay at home like this doing nothing. You must create an association that would help at least you, not only you, with other Muslim women, therefore helping my own girl children, because I had 6 girls before I started having boys.
Okay.
Wow. So we created the Muslim Women Association. It wasn't an easy task. I have to go home, house to door to door, meeting the men. But when you're not a woman, when you want to talk and people hear, you must have dignity. You must respect yourself.
Certainly.
Yeah, you don't just go around if you make yourself a mother, they welcome you like a mother. So when I talk, they listen. I asked if we could come together and have a small meeting. That's where I started. 1996, at the Bamenda Customary Court Old Town, we had our first meeting. Held a meeting. I tried to talk to the women, ask them why they think other women go out. Let me say, women, they celebrate, they do everything, but they are back at home. They said, no, the problem was their husband. I said, okay, if the problem is your husband, I know how to get to them. So I had to go and meet the men. I will quote an example. I asked, do you go to school? Do you go to the hospital? They say, yes. I said, when you go to the hospital, how do you feel seeing those small, small girls attending to you? They say, no, it's very good. It's very good. I say, okay. What about police posts? If you have a problem and go to the police post and you meet the woman on table, it's a police. How do you feel? They say, no, fine. I say, okay. Then I quote an example, like Madame Yao Aishetu, who was a minister. Mm-hmm. I said, do you know that one day minister can still come out of us here in the Northwest region from among the Muslim, being a woman? All of them said they would really cherish that day. I said, okay, then why don't all send the children to school? Okay, some start say, oh, these children, most of them are the breadwinners, they'll sell kuru, they'll make small makra, they'll do this. I say, yeah. But if they keep selling makra, kuru, no, that will remain like this.
Mm-hmm. So were the boys equally selling kuru, or they were giving most of the selling jobs to girls?
Most at times, it's the girls, eh? The girls, because the boys go to school. They will sell, but they will leave and go to school. So I tried to make a small meeting with them, asking them, why don't they think that the girls can sell after school? They brought up a problem. We don't. The Islam say the girls should not shave their head. I said, okay, no problem. Then Madame Elizabeth Mufo was the principal of GBHS Bamenda. I walked up to her, pleaded with her, telling her, please, if you can leave these children to come to school with their hair plaited, then they will go to school. Then the regional delegate was Mr. Babila Voma. Mm-hmm. I also contacted him. He helped me. He met other principals and they talked. The girls started going to school with plaited head. Mm-hmm. Then finally, the children, they said, will say, no, when we go to school, we have plaited head. The other children don't have. So we don't really like it. They said, but it's our culture. So that's why if you go now to school, you see some of them with plaited head, some.
Cut their head short.
So from then, gradually, they started going to school. And the women started coming out. I would say, okay. Their husband would say, when they are going out like this, we don't like it because, you know, the culture says, I say, the culture says what? What we are doing, we take from the preaching of Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. The wife, Aisha, was the only young woman he had out of his wives. The rest were widow. She was a teacher. She was a nurse. Wow. She led 12,000 battalion on a war battle. Wasn't she a woman? They say yes. I said, but the Quran says when you are going out, clothe yourself well, cover yourself, and then make sure you guide what God have guided in sacred. Mm-hmm. So don't go wayward. Is that not all? They say yes. I said, okay, then we'll do such.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before you thought of forming that association, what about you personally? Because from what you are saying, you had to do a lot of work, and such work could not have come from somebody who was equally limited. So before then, how was your life? Were you limited by your parents or maybe let's say the religion itself?
Yeah, but my religion doesn't say woman should not go to school or should not
do
marketing. But for my parents, my father didn't have it easy with his village people, because they said, this is you send all your girls, because even my elder sister went to school. But okay. Then it was a taboo to see a Muslim girl wearing a gown, more especially that school uniform that was just above the knee level. So it wasn't easy. After some age, I had to get married. Mm-hmm. Because I told my father, if she goes to school, she will not get married. But after my station in RSA, I have to get married. So I got married. I have my children.
Mm-hmm. And you continued
then your work. I continued with my work by forming, going into partnership with other NGOs and even associations. Mm-hmm. For example, I went in partnership with, we started with women's empowerment and women's and social affairs. Mm-hmm. Then it splitted. We went now to women's empowerment. Women's empowerment now, by then I was still too young, so I just had to keep following the elderly women. Yeah. People like Madame Monica Forbete, Madame Esther Angala, who is now a parliamentarian. I just keep following them. We'll sit in a group. They will quickly say, Rekiato, go and bring this. Go and bring that. But I keep learning what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then we used to have seminars. When there are seminars, they like to send me that go for this seminar. We mm-hmm. keep going until finally Sipre discovered me. I started working now with Sipre. We started by widow's hood rituals.
So what is Sipre?
Sipre is cycle for the protection of nature.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But Cypress is a French acronym.
Okay.
Yes, it says cycle de la promotion des créatures.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Natural products. Mm.
No, they are an NGO.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. They fight also. They are for human rights. Let me say the right of widow, the right of children, and anti child trafficking, human yeah. trafficking in human. They don't want it. So from Cypress, I worked with the Peace and Justice Commission of the Catholic Church with Madame Laura. From there, we worked again with IFCAM. Mm-hmm. IFCAM, not leaving out my MUSAP, Muslim Student Association. We yeah. keep, that's how we keep going up. We always have training. Then I joined CATU, which is a CATU and OPTA. We work together. Also, we had seminars. CATU is, the teachers' trade union.
Yeah.
The OPTA is the Union of Parents Teachers Association, which I am a member of the national body.
Okay.
Then back here in the region, I am their treasurer.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So looking at all of these things that you have been naming, attending seminars with so many organizations, don't they coincide maybe with your duties at home or maybe, say, your work in school?
Okay, I'm like this. At 4 o'clock, I'm up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when I get up at 4, I started my small household work. I get my children up at 5:30 because that's when we pray.
Okay,
I get everybody up at 5:30. But meanwhile, I've been up since 4. I program myself very well, and I think I have never gotten a problem because of my job.
Okay, well, let's have a little break, a little musical break, and when we come back, we continue our discussions.
Mm-hmm. No, 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 no. Oh, yeah. I'm in chains. You're in chains too. Our uniforms and you are uniforms too. I'm a prisoner, you're a prisoner too, Mr. Jailer. Oh, I have fears, you have fears too. I'll die, but you self will die too. Life is beautiful, don't you think so? Mr. Jailer, I'm talking to you, Jailer. Stop calling me a prisoner. Let him is without sin be the first to cast the stone, Mr. Jailer. Mr. Jailer, man, you suppress all my strategies. You oppress. Follow every part of me. What you don't know, you're a victim too, Mr. Jailer. Oh, you don't care about my point of view. If I die, another will work for you. So you treat me like a modern slave, Mr. Jailer. Talking to you, Jailer. Stop calling me a prisoner. Let him is without sin be the first to cast the stone, Mr. Jailer. Mr. Jailer, man. toxic place. Don't throw stones. Even if you do, you just might want one of your own. Life is not about your policies all the time, so you better rearrange your philosophies. I'm a good to your fellow man.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You asked on today's woman show to talk about women's participation in the society and to empower women to equally realize that some women have been making their way and they too can equally make their way. And on the program today, we have as host Madame Gambo Epuz Mbabere-Keato. And before we went on break, she has been talking to us so much about her struggles, about the things she has been able to do. In fact, she has named a whole lot. And when we look at what she said, let's come back to you, Madame Gambo. Mm-hmm. When I look at what you recounted a while ago, it showed that you really had some qualities, notably leadership qualities, to be able to gather most of those women to go to authorities, to negotiate, to see how the women who are under you can have an easy way to work. We equally noticed that you talked of networking and connecting with people who were already in working in some form of organizations, and you were able to contact to network yourself with them to get into the, let's say, to get into the platform to know how things are being done. You equally talked of time management. Are there some other aspects of you that you think you have, let's say qualities that you have that have been able to enable you to do all of these things?
Like a woman, I lost my husband when I was still young. I lost my husband at the age of 39. My first daughter going to form 2.
Oh, your husband is late.
Yes.
Oh,
so sorry. What I did was that I tried to be assertive.
Okay.
And try to maintain self-discipline. Because I know if you don't have discipline, you cannot discipline your children.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to work together with my children, even as young as they were.
I can imagine.
Yes, as young as they were. I tried to show them the way of life, try to tell them a woman is a woman, and a woman can do anything, because our difference is a biological different creation,
mm-hmm.
that we have womb. And that womb does not protect you, does not prevent you from doing anything in life you want to do. So I taught them how to, because myself I learned it, to do food processing mostly. And then we buy from North, we sell, we do it together. I mm-hmm. don't keep somebody behind. And when it's time for school, everybody has to go. When it's time for classes, they sit down and read. So I keep doing this with them until they are what they are today, mm-hmm. at this immature age.
Well, yeah, you have something else to add. Okay, you say you do food processing. We might equally want to find out what maybe your qualifications are, to what level you went to school to be able to have such qualities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not too much book work, because after my RSA, which is, O-level,
mm-hmm.
I tried A-level, that's mm-hmm. stage 3 in RSA, I failed.
Okay.
From there, my father said, "No, you have to go to marriage."
Wow.
You have to go to marriage.
You know, there's always this misconception that only educated people can really do groundbreaking things. Only educated people can be enlightened enough to do so many things. And really, when you were talking a while ago, all I could remember was, all that could come to my mind was, I'm sure this woman has some certificates in her portfolio or things like that. So it's really interesting to know that you were able to stand up despite your level of education.
Yeah.
And I used to see some girls equally, they'll say, "Well, I did not go to school like you did, so you don't expect me to think or to do things the way you did you do." They are talking to some women who want to help them out. So I think they are missing the point altogether, because with somebody like you and your experiences, where you have been able to reach with your CRS, in fact, is something to talk about. Well, we want to equally ask you, now let's concern ourselves with what is your driving force. You know, what pushes you to do the things you do? Is it love for your community? Is it out of obligation to your God? Let's just have maybe some of the things that push you to do the things you do.
Yeah, my really driving force is to save humanity, to work for humanity, more especially fighting the women and children's rights. Mm-hmm. Because as you rightly say, the problem is not too much book.
Yeah.
The problem is the way you look at things and the way you reason and the way you like to learn. Because I'm like this, I don't even matter you being my daughter to tell me, "Mama, this thing, if you put it this way, it will be good." I welcome it and appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So my problem, my driving force is that I want to see the womanhood being seen.
Wow.
And being heard. Even though by nature we are not equal with the men, but we try to be in partnership with
mm-hmm.
them.
So what is your view on this gender equality stuff?
Yeah, if we talk about gender equality, I will say, you see, we started working where, meanwhile, the whole country, we had ministers, only one woman.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, now you have women in ministerial post. You have women in the assembly, even from here.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our council. There was this launch by Commissure that they said 30%.
Mm-hmm.
For women.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, truly, they drove in the women without their saying of 30%. Many went in. So the world is fast changing. And I'm seeing, looking at things, maybe the world, I can say, is a women's world. Because if you see now, that's a woman in America.
Mm-hmm.
All through history, it has never happened. You see a woman being struggling to come up in America. So my question is, why not us, the women here in Cameroon, not even me, but our children,
mm-hmm.
our children here. Our children, as I was telling you, my husband died when my first daughter was going to form dream BHS Mancon. Seeing the weight load we have in the house, after advanced level, she said, "No, ma, I would like to go meet to teacher's training." She struggled and went in and then came out. Her junior sister has her master's degree in sociology. This one outside is a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I have a banker.
Wow.
From SWA.
Wow.
I have a lawyer. A lawyer in the making. She's now doing her stage with Lawyer Acha. Presently, she's in High Court right away now.
Wow.
As we are talking. So I thank God for all that.
My God. Mm-hmm. And you were able to do all of that single-handedly.
Yes, I did it single-handedly. I see, first, my prayers. Secondly, I made God to understand that I don't have any helper on earth. I don't want anything from anybody but from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And it went that way.
Wow. So were there some challenges that you faced bringing up these children? Why I ask is because there's one time I met a lady, she was complaining about her husband, and she was really complaining to the extent that she made me understand that she was fed up. And when I tried to propose, if you are really fed up, as you say, then move out and take care of your children, ensure that your children are fine. And then the girl and another lady, they were so surprised to hear me saying of something like that. They were, how can she possibly take care of 3 children on her own? And then to hear you taking care of 6 girls, how many boys?
3.
So 9 children on your own without the support from your husband or whatever.
From not even from the family level.
You see?
Yes.
So women can really sit up, take the challenge. We really shouldn't be thinking all the time that we can't do without support or without men. Because a man can be there who still doesn't help you. There are many women who have struggled on their own to raise their children. Yeah, so there's really no way, or there's really no essence folding your arms and hoping that you will get support from one place or from a man at all times. Well, we are going to have a little break, and when we come back, we remind ourselves of our quote of the day and as well continue with our discussions.
Today's woman knows no fear but is limited by respect and dignity. Today's woman has virtue and accomplishment has become a fashion trend. Despite the fact that some women still feel limited, unfit and unimportant, yet only today's woman has the keys to completely redeem her peers and society by preaching against excesses and restoring dignity.
Today's women, they need to be God-fearing, God-loving, and they need to be virtuous women, that is hardworking and industrious. And they need to be supportive to their husband, to their children, family, and the community as a whole.
Cameroon woman of today is not like the one yesterday. Not that we've been changed biologically, we are who we are. But we have now, I think we have been emancipated to a level that we think we can stand ourselves. Compare with the men, but not overthrowing the men, we know they are ahead of us.
I can see that today's woman is really an evolved woman. Is no longer a woman who thinks that the best she can do is be in the kitchen and cook for the husband. She's a woman who is more assertive. And I can see that they too, they are doing their best to make sure that their rights are respected.
I see today's woman as a woman who brings love, comfort, peace and prosperity in home and in society.
One thing I believe God is that God has put so much into women that if they submit themselves under the care and under the hand and the leadership of God, God will use them to build the community that we desire in our time. In Jesus' name.
Okay, we'll have to listen to a report that talks about Muslim women and their participation in schools. I think the report is mostly talking about some of the limitation Muslim women go through because of their religion. I remember during one of my research on the topic, as I knew you were coming as my guest and being a Muslim, I discovered that in some countries in Africa and in the world, Muslim women are still restricted. Precisely in Afghanistan, they say only 80% of women are allowed to go to school, and you discover that most of the women are still illiterate. So I was wondering how the situation back here in Cameroon is. So we put together this report, and let's listen to it, and when we come back, we continue discussions.
Gender inequality is a common accusation made against Islam, and the disparity in educational opportunities between men and women in many Muslim countries. Education is seen as one of the strongest factors in determining the economic, social, and political advancement of a society. And if those making up over 50% of that society are denied such a basic fundamental right, then, needless to say, human rights activists will seek to find reasons for this disparity. Religion, particularly Islam, is cited as a major stumbling block for women's advancement. Studies have also showed that in many parts of Africa and Southeast Asia, women's acquisition of knowledge is either vehemently opposed as compared to the men, with so many restrictions, thus making it so impossible for female students to acquire a decent standard of education. Even looking at recent day happenings with terrorist attacks, we realize the Muslim communities are mostly affected, with the women and girls much vulnerable to the attacks, given that a good number become displaced either as captives or as refugees in other countries. Early marriages are so common with Muslims, as you can find a 14-year-old girl married and even a mother. Socializing is out of place, especially for the married persons, and their form of dressing, where they put on the burqa that leaves only their eyes exposed, a clear indication they are not to be seen by others and the public. Looking at young Malala, the Nobel Peace Prize winner from Pakistan, who defied the Taliban in Pakistan and demanded that girls be allowed to receive education, was shot in the head by a Taliban gunman in 2012, but she survived. It justifies, therefore, that it is really a global crisis for the Muslim girl, and so the struggle must continue.
All right, after listening to that report, let's take a look a little, let's say briefly, about the situation of education for girls in the Muslim community in Cameroon. Let's take the case study of Cameroon.
If you say, let's take the case of Muslim women, I will tell you women are women, because I had a friend from Dordrecht Trust who told me there were two of them, and their uncle said they should go to marry. Their mother wanted them to go to school. So a woman is a woman. What I will tell you is that in my Quran, it is stated, seeking knowledge is mandatory for every Muslim. Not a woman, not a man, but Muslim.
Every Muslim.
Every Muslim. Because you see, and it also stated that seek knowledge from cradle till death.
Okay.
Now, if you don't seek knowledge, you don't even know the God you are worshipping. Because if you don't have knowledge, you don't have the God you are worshipping. Knowledge doesn't really mean that you must be wasting, it must be this. No. You must learn to know what you are doing on earth. There is no restriction for a Muslim girl to go to school. No.
Okay.
Yes.
So is it cultural restriction? Or
it's cultural, and some of the men are being egoistic.
Okay.
Yes. They think they don't want the women to weigh up with them. And I can say this is due to some behaviors of other women. Yes. Because some women, they think when you go to school and reach a certain level, you don't have to respect a man. Far from it. And since we are talking about Muslim, we are talking about religion here. And there is no place in the scripture that says a woman should be above a man. Okay. We are created like that. Yeah. So there's no restriction.
In the program today, we have been talking to Madame Gambo Epos Mbaperekeatu, just to remind us that she is the regional representative of the Islamic Higher Council for the Northwest region. She is equally the former Bamenda Forum Women's President. She is as well the national president of Cameroon Muslim Women's Association. She is the former PTA president of GTHS Bamenda, Canada, and she is a member of the National Bureau of Union of Parents Teachers Association, and she's the treasurer of that national body here in the Northwest region. I hope I'm not forgetting any of your your offices. Well, let's look now at some of the things that women should know as a woman, as an activist, as a leader. Yes, what do you think young women, young girls as well as women should know?
What I want to say, what women should know is that keep right aside is the first thing, and don't be arrogant.
Okay.
Listen more and talk less. Because when you talk too much, you attract the intention of men in some ways, which is not really good. If you want to talk, say something which is sensible. You know, God made men the way he made them. From look of things, they are not, they cannot, I can say some of them cannot really hold themselves, put themselves together if you decide to look somewhere in front of them. It doesn't mean that women should not dress. Dress and look attractive, but covering your body very well is very important. And make them understand that you are a human just like them. Yeah, and take them like brothers, like sister. No, don't say I can be above. I can do what a man can do. I can do even more than a man. No, they will not. They will not be happy about that.
Yeah.
They will not like it. And always make them to know they come first in your life. That they come first because God created them first. Give them that opportunity. But then, don't just go that way. Don't give it and then give all your body to them and then say you become something that an object of ridicule. Have your self-dignity. Be assertive. Impose when you want to impose, but do it the right way. Don't say, I must.
Mm-hmm.
Can we? Always remember to tell them, can we please do this?
Mm-hmm.
When we tell them that, I must do this. They'll say, no, but this is a woman. She cannot be above me.
Yeah, she cannot be.
Yeah, so dialogue is a key word. You dialogue with them and you'll be fine.
Okay. Well, and then about women taking part in educational and entrepreneurial activities, because you are not just successful in your home. Yeah, we can see that you are successful in so many national activities, regional activities. Yeah. What about the women who want to get involved as well? What can you say to them? Let's say a secret.
Okay. The secret, first of all, is that women should always learn to listen to the radio. Because at times we have seminar, foreign bodies coming in. It's been announced over the media. The government is organizing something, listening to the radio. There are some of the women that get up in the morning. Yes, you do your household junk. You are in the kitchen. You want to sweep your yard. You want to do this. Your husband is listening. Some of them will stay there. After listening, they will stay there quiet. Just get up and tell you, we have a meeting at the DO's office. I'm going there. Meanwhile, the population of Northwest was invited. But now you didn't have the information.
Yeah, you didn't.
So what I want to say, I want to plead here with women is that a small radio at 1.5 you can get a small radio. I used to work with my radio in my kaba pocket.
Oh, yes. Wow!
Yeah, I used to work with my radio in the kaba pocket. But if there's an occasion or a seminar that I don't attend, know that I'm held them somewhere. Know that I don't have the information. And rather than keeping it, I would prefer to call another woman and tell her that, do you know that this seminar is going up like this? Endeavor to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So women should always be informed. Yeah.
And to take part.
And to take part.
Yes, because when we were talking a while ago, you made mention of how you were able to easily flow. Because you were networking with other women, you were attending seminars, and I think there are really so many things to learn from seminars.
Yes, there are many things to learn, even in political, and I even forget that part. I've been one time subsection president here.
Oh,
yes, in time back that when it was Old Town and Tamulu, like a subsection.
Okay.
I was a W subsection president. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, we hope many women are listening. They used to say, if you want to hide something from a Cameroonian, hide in the newspaper. But it's evident these days, even if you sing, you shout, you talk about it on radio and TV, some people still do not hear. And there are people who hear and just don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get interest. Meanwhile, it can be a start to so many things.
Yeah. Yeah, because some of us believe that each time you dip your hand and pay your tax, you go somewhere, you want money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but money is not
that's
all.
Another thing.
Yes, money is not all. It's not all. There are some information. There is at times an organization or a meeting you go there, you can meet somebody whom you will interact with. And it may be a point will come from the person that you will succeed in life. Not be you a woman or a man. It used to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I attended one conference, is it a summit equally? They were saying that your destiny might just be one contact away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it so much because it was like the change that you want or the achievements or everything that you want might just be with somebody that you are yet to meet. But because you don't network, because you don't go out, you don't interact with others, yet you are many, many opportunities are hidden away from you.
Okay, let me take you back to 1999.
Yes.
There was the launching of this Islamic Development Bank in Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it over the radio. Then I also heard the delegate then of comments announcing it, that he wants people to come there and talk, then partake. Then they may possibly travel to Yaounde. Mm-hmm. I did not hesitate. I just went. I just went to the meet, met him and said, "Mr. Delegate, say yes, madam. This is what." I say, "Yes, I do commerce also. I do trading. I do market." He said, "What do you sell?" I did not want to tell him the small thing I was selling then, because then I used to put my groundnut oil, small fufu corn in front of the house and sell. I didn't say that too. I just said, "I'm doing business." He said, "Okay, since you are doing business, can we please have your people?" I went back. Met the Muslim women. That's the first travel we had. Now we have partnership with the Cameroon Pakistanese Friendship. We have a whole magazine. I'm one of the black person in that magazine.
Wow.
So what I'm trying to say is that we should always listen to news and be ready to move.
And be ready to get involved.
Yes.
Wow. I'm just discovering as we go along, as we talk, I discover that the more you dare, the more you succeed, and the more you go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because at times that we might just be limited. We ask ourselves, what is the use? What is even going to come out of this?
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you see that one step at a time, you are getting somewhere. Now, let's look at the role of men in your growth and in your success. How have men helped, or how have they limited you in all of your struggles and everything you have been doing?
What I want to say is that a man is a man. A man is a man no matter how small he is, he or she, he is. Because you cannot do something and say, "I'm a woman, I will do it alone." At times, their advice will help you.
Mm-hmm.
At times, you come to a place that needs force. You cannot do it without the help of the men.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take for example now, we say we are doing anti-child trafficking. If they leave it just, okay, you are a woman, just do the anti-child trafficking. I don't think you will succeed. There are certain times that you have to sit down, dialogue with the men and push them to go, and they will do it. And a man has helped me. When I lost my husband, I thought the world had come to an end. I decided to stay at home. I don't want even, that's... There came a time that I didn't want even to move along the street. He was a national referee. I hate hearing whistle.
Okay.
I have to gather my children and stay like this in the house. But it wasn't easy with me because to begin with, how would those children go to school? How would they eat? If they are sick, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So one man came up, Malamama Susan of the Muslim Student Association. He will come and look at me like this and say, "Ah, this way you are sitting, if you die here, God will not even welcome you. You will be questioned because you have a workload. Stand up, get out there, do something that will help you and these children."
Mm-hmm.
He will keep talking. See, like a man, he had courage. But instead, my friends, the women, they will come, we'll sit together. What we used to do, we'll sit and cry together.
Okay.
"Oh, this man is gone. What do we do with these small, small children?" But thank God to that man. He really built me again and tried to boost me up.
Wow.
Yeah. He took me like a sister. He will come meet me in the house, we'll discuss and say, and I will not forget thanking Pa JB and the wife who used to come again and ask me that, "Ma, what are you doing?" One time Pa JB walked to my, he gave me money for capital and said, "Take this and start your business, but don't stay at home."
Mm-hmm.
So the men, they are very, very helpful. They are our brothers, our sons, our fathers. So we cannot do with the men.
Mm-hmm.
Without the men, we cannot do without them.
Okay, I want to think, as much as when men come to us for ideas, for advice, we always have something to tell them. So obviously, when we run short of ideas, short of maybe whatever, we run to men
the right way.
We'll they'll always help us. Mm-hmm. And let's look at it from your husband's role equally, because you made mention of the fact that he helped you to start some organizations and things like that. You know, not every husband will want their wives to get to the forefront, to engage in activities as such. How instrumental was your husband?
When I started this thing, he was my secretary, my advisor, my everything. There's one thing with men, show them the trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you show them that you are trustworthy, they'll always like to help you. And let me tell you something, there is no man who will sit and see his wife up there. Okay, take for example, they are holding just a common meeting and they say, your wife is the president of this group. The men are happy. Mm-hmm. But now when you decide to go away, what do they do? They send you from here, they say, go and do. Then tomorrow, no, she went like this. He will come back to the house. How was the meeting today? No, it was very good. It was very good. But we closed very late. Meanwhile, you left that place and went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And the story must come back. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot hide it mm-hmm. in toto. It must come back. What do you expect? Okay, today he says, okay, there is a seminar. Because when I went for that seminar in Yaoundé with the Islamic Development Bank, mm-hmm. my husband was alive. Okay, you go there. We have to interact with men from different countries, men from the country. Then you come back now. Because of what you've done there, you are ashamed even to open your mouth. And you cannot even feel free in front of him. Mm-hmm. But when you come back, you are happy. You tell him, oh, I went like this. I met the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And we chat like this. We do this because your conscience is clean. Yeah, you, the women, try to make the men trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you see men started being suspicious, there's something. They say there's no smoke without fire. There's something. And at times, it may be a secret will meet him. He doesn't even know how to tell that this person told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he will instead stand that. He will instead decide not to be just treating you quietly.
Yeah, to be tense.
Uh-huh. To be tense. I want to go to meeting. What for? No, please, I don't want to go to. I wanted you to do me this or do that. See, you now destroyed your own way.
Mm-hmm. So it all boils down to women. That women, everything yes, depends yes, on women.
It depends on us.
Mm-hmm. How cooperative.
Why don't even one day when you are going out for a meeting, why don't you even say, come there, can you come after and see what we are doing?
Mm-hmm.
You invite them at times.
I want to also think that some of these men usually fear their wives going ahead because they don't really believe in the strength or the competencies of their wife. So they might think the wife will go and disgrace them, or the wife will this or that. But I think, as you just said, if the wives build that trust enough, that competence, make their husbands to be proud of them, I'm sure everywhere he sits, he can beat his chest, this is my wife, and so on and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but what I want to tell the men is that if you leave your wife and think she can disgrace you, it's because you want it that way. You have to teach them. I was being taught in my house by my husband.
Wow.
Yes, I accepted it.
Yes. I was saying, when you were privileged.
Yes. When after finishing cooking in the kitchen, I come to the parlor after it, he said, come closer. I come, he say, you see, I went to meeting. I can tell you something. Let me say something like work interacting with these civil servants.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I learned it from my husband.
Wow.
At times, he would bring a document like this. Even teaching. I can teach very well because he was a physical education teacher. He worked with youth and sports.
Okay.
So he was a youth and an animation teacher. So I tell him, he will bring his document and say, Ma, come and help me. I will come. He said, okay, take this and see.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, read it for me. Yes, just help me and read it. Let me see what it looks like. I'll read. He said, okay, if you see, what will you do? Then do it this way. So the men should not say we'll be disgraced. A woman is part of you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you keep her in the house, there will be one day. Let me tell you the truth. When my husband died, if he kept me in the house, I don't think we would have gone anywhere with these children.
Yeah.
Yes. Certainly. Because he keep pulling me. So when he died, I knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And I know where to go. But if I was left at home, it wouldn't have been easy.
I'm sure he'll be proud of the children, whoever he is right now.
When you are a man and you don't train your woman, you don't want her to get out. Just know, one doesn't know. Who will first go?
Yeah.
If you first go, know your children, your compound will all scatter.
Just be anyhow.
Yeah, just be anyhow. Their children will be like their mother. And then you've left nothing behind. Because nobody will stand somewhere and talk about you. The children will follow their mother's footsteps. They will be timid. They will not be assertive. They will just be like that. Mm-hmm. So husbands should try to do something with their women. Teach them the way. Some of them, even me, when I got married, I could not talk. Yes, I could not.
You were the timid type.
Yes, I was a timid type. I just thought, talking is for those people who work in the office. But he proved to me that, no, it's not like that.
Yeah. We hope many more men adopt that style. We know there are some out there who are holding the hands of their wives, helping them to be the best they can be. But then we pray that the others who do not believe that would think the woman is still supposed to be behind, listen to whatever they say, clean whatever they have left behind. We hope that they sit up, they listen more, sit up and help their wives too to be able to be strong and firm enough. Who knows, tomorrow you might even face a problem. I mean the men.
Yeah.
And it's the woman who sustain you. Mm-hmm. The woman will help you and keep the family going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a two-way, it's partners in one boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when one side is falling, the other should be able to lift it up. And I think when there is mutual understanding and everything has been going smoothly, the woman will not suddenly from nowhere get up and start controlling you because she's now in control of phones and things like that. Yeah, because you were equally good to her when she was down. Well, let's also look at the role of community. We have talked about men. What about community as a whole? Let's take, for example, the Muslim community. When you were trying to bring together women to talk to them, to encourage them to go to school, how did they welcome it? How did the community welcome it? Were they supportive or did they believe in you?
There is something about building up a community. You don't just get up one day like this, call people and then start talking, saying that I'm building a community. It doesn't work that way. You start one-to-one. Therefore, you can meet a woman whom you think she's influential and she can talk. You meet her, discuss with them. Gradually, you are moving on. You from one woman, you get two, you get three, you get four. Then they come together. You talk with them. For example, when I started the issue of women, Muslim women going to march. Some of them, the women will laugh and make a mockery of me. That you see me, you see big mother like me making like that. So what about the other women who used to march? In our community, at times, the men have made the women to understand that their place is their house or their fence. But if you take, you cannot talk to them without going through your scripture.
Okay.
You don't talk to people without following the scripture. But if you don't go to church or you don't have any religion, follow the tradition of those who have gone ahead of you. Because when my women, I didn't have problem bringing them out when I took them. When I had that partnership with this Cameroon-Pakistani friendship, I had some translated Quran because all our documents were in Arab. So the men will read.
Mm-hmm.
The women will not even know what they are talking about. They'll just stay them there. They are just there. Now with those translated documents, I made them understand that no, women have the right to work. They have the right to do marketing. They have the right to interact with other women like them. And if you interact with them, you can build a better society. You cannot. Nobody is an island. Because you're a Muslim woman, you cannot just, I'm a Muslim woman, let me just stay in the house like this. Even your children, they will not go anywhere.
Yeah.
You have to interact with other women. You buy idea from them, they also buy from you. So then now you bind it together, carry it back to your different homes, but set good example.
Wow.
Because when you start by setting good example, let me take for instance, when we started our association, I brought in people who came and taught us how to make the detergent. Some of them went back home. They used to make detergent to wash their dresses. Their husbands were happy. And we didn't even limit it here in Bamenda. We went to Baba, Babisi, Bansa.
Wow.
We keep going, keep going. So the community now is just like any other normal community. Because when you talk to our men, the problem is that when they are going out and you leave that place, you are coming back. Come back, make sure they eat. That's our manner. Make sure you keep your house clean. Make sure what they want at the time they want, give them. I'm tired. I cannot do this. You are killing yourself.
You become fed up at one point.
Even if you are tired, try just to make as if.
To maintain your home.
Yeah, so that to maintain your home, so that next time you say you are going out, he will happily. And when you go out, you learn something, don't keep it. Come back and tell him that. Do you know that when we went like this, they taught us this, taught us this, taught us this. From what you learn, they are also happy. Yes, they will also be happy. Then, for example, we can make fruit juice. So they taught us how to make fruit juice. I will try it so that you test it. You make it today, he tests. Tomorrow, I can make a soup. You make it, they test it. I know how to make Robin oil. You make it, you use soya beans, make mug, you do small, small items, yeah. Does that help? Okay, tomorrow, oh, a soap is 300 francs. Now, you because you've produced a soap, the production cost you just 500, then you share it, now you see that your soap now for 300 is 100 francs.
Mm-hmm.
No husband will be angry
yeah.
with it. But what if you go out there, then coming back, you are drunk? Yeah, you are drunk.
Course.
You've already drunk. You go and drink, then come back, talk off, or you go in and come and say, no, I'm so powerful. Mm-hmm. We women, they have said that women are not slaves. Yes, women are not slaves. Women are equal to men. Women, they will tell you, sit down there and you will do nothing.
Yeah, you have
yes,
to sit down.
You have to sit down.
Because if you really come back with such things that you have learned that can help, you discover that even the men will start giving you ideas.
Yes.
Why don't we do it like
yes.
this? You see, it becomes some form of a partnership. They'll always have ideas, you know. As much as we always have ideas, they always have ideas. So, okay, our time is fast approaching. Let's just talk a bit about on the quote of the day that says, a successful woman is one who can build a firm foundation with the bricks others have thrown at her. That quote is coming from Margaret Thatcher. That is, a successful woman is the one that, despite the challenges or the limitations, she's getting stronger and building a better future for herself and her community, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is there something you can add on
yeah.
the quote?
You know, with us, let's take it back here to Africa, because this is from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here in Africa, you know, once a woman starts, we women, we used to pull other women down. If not now that we have seminar and we know that a woman should be a partner to another woman. So we together we hold our hands and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
If not, if you're a woman and you go to talk, at times they say, what does she know? What does she want? Is she above everybody? We have that idea of blackmailing, backbiting, and we don't like to see somebody above us. And then there was this slogan that an enemy of a woman is another woman. Well, thank God that idea is not more existing.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes,
that
it's
used
not,
to be
yes,
a funny.
Yes, yes. I think
funny
that, one, that one was something of the past.
Yeah.
Yes, because even now, if you see what is happening in America, I seem to have a touch with them because I work with the Afro-American. They have opened an office here, an NGO, very big one in Yaoundé. They call it Remember Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the president of Remember Africa, Caroline Hurd, she is a campaign manager to Hillary Clinton. And I cannot tell you how many times she used to call from America and say, please pray for Hillary. Please pray for Hillary. So all the women, we are seated. We are up now. And if you don't accept those challenges, that you are a woman and they can talk about you, I in person. If I stay and you come and tell me that, Madame Riquetto, do you know that this woman said this, that you've done this? I'll say yes, it's because I did it wrong. It may be if I do it rightly, she won't have spoken. So I would like to correct myself. And where did I go wrong? She said, no, she said, you did this, it was wrongly done. And I said, okay, next time I'll correct it. And it ends there like
it
that.
Ends there.
I will never ask the other woman that, why did you say yes? You have to wave it.
Yeah.
Yes. So those are those broken bricks that they used to say. Broken bricks is they're condemning you. And when they condemn you, you correct yourself, you move higher.
And that's things that are aimed at distracting
you,
making you lose focus. Well, we are going to be ending the program right now. It has been a very interesting program. We want to thank you so much for coming.
The pleasure is mine.
Well, listeners, we thank you so much for being with us. We have been with Madame Gambo Epus Mbappe Rekeatu, and she has been telling us so much of how much she has been able to succeed to help other women in her community be the best they can be. Our quote for the day was, a successful woman is one who can build a firm foundation with the bricks others have thrown at her. Thank you again so much, and remember to keep the rendezvous next same time next week. Have a pleasant day.